Join the Thinking in English Conversation Club right now and get a 7-day free trial. That's right, 1 week free to see if you enjoy our Conversation Club. The only way to improve your English speaking ability is by speaking, and speaking as often as possible. And the best way to do this is with my Conversation Clubs. Join small groups of other Thinking in English listeners, along with me and professional English tutors, to discuss fascinating topics, learn vocabulary, and really improve your English. All of our clubs are conducted online and are an amazing space to practice, test yourself, and meet interesting people. We run clubs 6 times a week, and the more of you who join, the more sessions we will run in the future. You can join the Conversation Club right now for just $10 a month. And if you sign up today, you can get a 7-day free trial. Click the link in the description or go to www.patreon.com/thinkinginenglish to join now. Hello, I'm Tom Wilkinson, and welcome to the Thinking in English podcast, a podcast for intermediate to advanced level English learners. Last week, the US Supreme Court decided to end affirmative action, a policy that has helped millions of people from underrepresented communities enter top universities and get better jobs. Let's discuss what affirmative action is in more detail, why the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional, and what could happen next on today's episode of Thinking in English. You can find the full transcript over on the Thinking in English blog for free. The link is in the description. Here is today's vocabulary list. Race. Race. The idea that people can be divided into different groups based on physical characteristics that they are perceived to share, such as skin colour, eye shape, etc. For example, discrimination on the grounds of race will not be tolerated. Diversity. Diversity. The fact of many different types of things or people being included in something, or a range of different things or people. As in, does television adequately reflect the ethnic and cultural diversity of the country? Discrimination. Discrimination. Treating a person or particular group of people differently, especially in a worse way from the way in which you treat other people, because of their race, gender, sexuality, etc. For example, the law has done little to prevent racial discrimination and inequality. To marginalise. To marginalise. To treat someone or something as if they are not important. As in, now that English has taken over as the main language, the country's native language has been marginalised. Underrepresented. Underrepresented. If a type of person or thing is underrepresented in a group or organisation, there is not enough of them in it. As in, Hispanics are underrepresented in US political institutions. Preferential. Preferential. Used to say that something that someone is given is better than what other people receive. For instance, single mothers have been given preferential access to council housing. Representation. Representation. The fact of including different types of people, for example in films, politics, or sport, so that all different groups are represented. For example, what is the reason for the lack of female representation on top boards? A level playing field. A level playing field. A situation in which everyone has the same chance of succeeding. For instance, if the quality of high schools varies so much, how can everyone start college on a level playing field? Today's vocabulary is quite difficult, so I've also made an extended vocabulary list available over on the transcript. The link is in the description. Last Friday, the US Supreme Court made a decision that will affect millions of young Americans. They ruled that your race cannot be considered by universities during applications. Since the 1960s, many colleges and educational institutes in the US adopted a policy known as affirmative action. I'll explain more shortly, but it was basically a way to increase the diversity of universities and the workplace. It was a form of positive discrimination. While this policy has often annoyed and angered many white Americans, it has helped millions of Black, Hispanic, and Native American students enter top colleges and access the highest levels of education. The Supreme Court's decision is the latest in a series of highly controversial rulings. Last year, I recorded episodes on the US Supreme Court itself and its decision on the right to abortion. I recommend you listen to them both. In fact, on the same day as the decision to end affirmative action, the Supreme Court also allowed businesses to discriminate against LGBT customers in some cases, and ruled against Joe Biden's policy of student loan forgiveness. The affirmative action ruling by the court has made headlines across the world. I think there were at least 5 different articles from the BBC about it, and The Economist instantly published a debate between 2 different people, and discussions about affirmative action were appearing all over social media. So I thought I would take a deeper look into affirmative action today. We'll look at what affirmative action actually means, the history of the famous policy, the Supreme Court's decision, and end by asking if the end of affirmative action could be an opportunity for a better solution. Affirmative action is a policy that aims to promote diversity by providing opportunities to people from groups that have been historically marginalized or underrepresented. It focuses on areas such as workplaces, professions, and educational institutions. The goal is to ensure equal access and equal treatment for all individuals, regardless of their race, gender, ethnicity, and disabilities. Certain groups have faced discrimination and prejudice throughout history. This has resulted in their limited representation in parts of society. For example, less women in certain professions or less disabled people at top colleges. Through affirmative action, societies attempt to create a more inclusive environment by giving these groups more opportunities. One example of how affirmative action works is with colleges. Universities may give preferential treatment to students from underrepresented groups. This means that if 2 candidates have similar qualifications, the university might choose the candidate from the underrepresented group to ensure a more diverse student body. The aim is to provide individuals from historically marginalized groups with greater access to education and increase their representation in higher education. This is actually how I attended university in the UK. Unlike in America, where affirmative action is mainly based on race, many universities in the UK also include social class or wealth as a factor. So when I applied to the University of Nottingham back in 2012, they made it easier for me to enter compared to my wealthier classmates, because I come from a working class family. Similarly, in the workplace, affirmative action policies may involve setting targets or quotas to ensure a diverse workforce. Companies may recruit and hire individuals from underrepresented groups to create a workforce that reflects the diversity of the population. For instance, if an organization notices a lack of female representation in senior positions, it may decide to promote and support the advancement of women within the company. The general idea is to create universities and workplaces that represent society. For many different reasons, it has been challenging for people of colour, women, disabled people, and other groups to sometimes enter top universities and get the best jobs. Affirmative action aimed to end this. Affirmative action in the USA was officially started by President Lyndon Johnson in the 1960s. This was at the heart of the civil rights movement in the USA, with people campaigning for greater rights and opportunities for African Americans. The roots of affirmative action can be traced back to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which outlawed or banned discrimination based on race, colour, religion, sex, or national origin. However, the Act did not explicitly mention affirmative action, as it initially focused on ending discrimination rather than promoting inclusivity. It was in 1965 that affirmative action began to take shape. The concept emerged in response to persistent inequality and the need for measures to level the playing field for disadvantaged communities. President Johnson understood that ending segregation and ensuring legal equality were not enough to rectify the long-standing imbalances faced by African Americans. In 1965, Johnson issued Executive Order 11246, which required federal contractors to take affirmative action to promote equal employment opportunities. This order marked the first step towards implementing affirmative action in the United States. It aimed to increase the representation of African Americans and other groups in the workforce by encouraging companies that had federal contracts to actively recruit and hire qualified individuals from underrepresented communities. Over time, affirmative action expanded further. Various executive orders, court decisions, and legislation extended affirmative action to educational institutions, government agencies, and even private employers. Affirmative action policies were implemented to ensure that admission processes in college and universities considered race as a factor, in order to encourage diversity and address historical disadvantages. So, now you know the history and what affirmative action is. What are the pros? What are the benefits of affirmative action? And why has it been criticized in the USA over the past few years? Let's take a look at some of these arguments. Arguments for affirmative action. One of the main arguments for affirmative action is that it helps to level the playing field and promote equal opportunities for historically disadvantaged groups. By considering factors such as race or gender in college admissions or employment decisions, affirmative action aims to end the discrimination that has held back marginalized communities. It aims to create a more inclusive society where everyone has a fair chance to succeed. Affirmative action is often seen as a way to foster diversity and inclusion. By actively trying to diversify student bodies and workforces, affirmative action aims to create environments that reflect the broader society and allow people from different backgrounds to contribute their unique perspectives and experiences. This can enrich learning environments, promote understanding, and lead to better innovation. Advocates also argue that affirmative action is a necessary tool for redressing historical injustices. They believe that centuries of discrimination and oppression has created disadvantages for certain groups, particularly racial and ethnic minorities. Affirmative action seeks to address this imbalance by providing opportunities to those who have been historically marginalized. Arguments against affirmative action. On the other hand, one of the main arguments against affirmative action is that it can lead to reverse discrimination. Critics argue that by giving preferential treatment based on race, gender, or other characteristics, affirmative action can unfairly disadvantage individuals from other groups, such as white or male applicants. By considering factors like race or gender in admissions or employment decisions, affirmative action can prioritize diversity over qualifications, leading to the selection of less qualified candidates. And some opponents also argue that it is based on stereotypes, as it categorizes individuals based on their race or other characteristics. Critics argue that affirmative action may inadvertently reinforce divisions. So, after nearly 50 years, the US Supreme Court has now decided that the policy of affirmative action in college admissions is unconstitutional, meaning that universities can no longer use a person's race as a factor in admissions. On June 29th, the US Supreme Court made a 6-3 decision in two cases, Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard and Students for Fair Admissions versus the University of North Carolina. These decisions were that race-based affirmative action programs in higher education violate the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the majority opinion, arguing that the way to stop racial discrimination is to stop discriminating on the basis of race altogether. He criticized the idea of using race as a plus factor in admissions decisions. This had allowed universities to use race as a reason to choose one student over another. Roberts argued that the benefits of diversity were not clear or measurable enough to justify using race as a consideration. The majority opinion also questioned affirmative action's definition of diversity, arguing that grouping all students from a particular category ignores the differences within that category. Right? There are so many differences within the category of Asian, for example. People from India, people from Japan, from China, immigrants and second or third generation immigrants. They all count. Moreover, the ruling accused universities of focusing too much on racial categories rather than considering other aspects of an applicant's identity, such as the challenges they've overcome, their skills acquired, and their lessons learned. Justice Sonia Sotomayor and Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, on the other side of the decision, argued that affirmative action has been an important tool in promoting inclusivity and equality in higher education and American society. But now affirmative action has been stopped, what could happen next? Well, the ruling may result in a decrease in the minority students attending top universities. Already, bans on affirmative action in certain states have led to a decline in minority students attending top universities. Universities may explore new methods to promote diversity, such as increasing outreach efforts or implementing new schemes. Moreover, affirmative action based on wealth and family income could be emphasized to boost diversity and provide more opportunities. Elite universities in America also run two other forms of easy admission, which have been much criticized. Legacy admissions, so the children and grandchildren of former students, can enter top universities more easily than non-legacy students. And so can student athletes, who often require much, much lower grades at high school, and then they play full-time sport at college. These universities may need to address this favoritism for legacy applicants and athletes to create a more progressive admission system. The ruling could also influence companies. Many companies supported affirmative action, emphasizing the importance of diversity in education and the workforce. Certain professions, such as law and medicine, already struggle with diversity, and the ruling may make the issue worse. Although it may be difficult, I think ending affirmative action based on race is a chance for the USA to create a new and fairer version of affirmative action based on wealth. Universities have relied heavily on race and overlooked economic disadvantage in admissions, leading to a lot of wealthy minority students. In the UK, for example, the most underrepresented group at universities is not who you would imagine. White working class men. White working class men are the least likely group to enter top universities in the UK. And that's why I was given an easier admissions process. Universities and professions in the US should also focus on socioeconomic factors rather than having a simple focus on race. So here is today's final thought. The recent Supreme Court decision to end race-based affirmative action in college admissions raises important questions about the future of diversity and inclusivity in American universities and beyond. The ruling may lead to a decrease in minority representation at top universities, as previous bans on affirmative action have already shown. Universities may need to explore new methods to promote diversity, such as emphasizing affirmative action based on wealth and family income. The ruling's impact may extend beyond higher education to the workforce, as many companies have supported affirmative action. Certain professions already struggling with diversity could face additional challenges due to the ruling. While the end of race-based affirmative action presents challenges, it also offers an opportunity to reimagine a fairer version of affirmative action based on socioeconomic factors. But what do you think? Does your country have a system of affirmative action? Do you think factors like race or gender should be included in university and job decisions? Let me know by leaving a comment on the Thinking in English transcript, leaving a comment on Spotify, or reaching out to me on Instagram. This episode, I realized as I was writing it, contained a lot more difficult vocabulary than usual. So I've made an extended vocabulary list over on the transcript. There's a button at the top of the transcript, or you can scroll down to the bottom where there's an extra 25 words I defined. But talking about topics like this is really interesting, but it can be challenging. So hopefully you've been able to understand and follow this this episode. But if not, I really encourage you to go look at the transcript. I make transcripts for every single episode, so go and look at them and you'll be able to read along and search for any definitions. Over the next few weeks and maybe months, I'm going to try and make the transcripts even better. I've already been experimenting with comprehension quizzes and using glossaries to make pop-up definitions. So I'm going to try and improve the transcript experience for all of you guys. And if you have any suggestions on how to improve it, please let me know. The extended vocabulary list, for example, was suggested by someone on my Spotify comments last week. So I've decided to do it this week. But thank you all so much for listening. I enjoyed writing this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to it. Make sure to support me over on Patreon if you want the Thinking in English podcast to carry on. We need some more Patreon subscribers. Thank you, and I'll see you all next time. Goodbye.